Over the past year, All Things Considered commentator Kevin Kling has told us many stories. He's described his mother taking him to a demolition derby when he was a boy, told us about running a carnival for muscular dystrophy in his backyard, and philosophized about hobo life as he experienced it one summer back in the 1980s. We haven't heard from Kevin Kling since August of last year. Today, he tells us where he has been.
When we were kids, my brother and I had a 3.5-horse Briggs & Stratton engine, and that engine went into everything, the mini bike, then into the go-kart, to the boat, to the go-kart, to the mini bike. We'd bolt the engine to the frame, and if there was time, we'd hook up the brakes. We lived by the theory of why stop if you can't get going in the first place. And this tactic usually ended up with one of us in the emergency room, where we were on a first-name basis with most of the staff. Now, if my brother was getting stitched up, I would sit back in the waiting room and read Highlight magazine. In it, there were cartoons like the Timber Toes, the Bear Family, a family of bears so perfect they made the family circus look dysfunctional. There was a page where one could search for the hidden objects such as an anvil, a top hat, and a hatchet in a field of dancing unicorns. But the best of all was Goofus and Gallant, a story based on the lives of two boys, Goofus and Gallant. Now, Gallant exemplified good behavior, Goofus bad. Bad behavior, good. Goofus and Gallant. And they were written in the present tense. For example, Gallant cleans his room, while Goofus sees if oily rags will burn in a window well. Gallant eats his vegetables, while Goofus wonders what's inside a squirrel. What I liked, there was no recourse to either behavior. They were simply different approaches to life. I was naturally drawn to Goofus, but I realized we're all made up of a little Goofus and Gallant. On August 11th, my Goofus got on his motorcycle and my Gallant put on his helmet. When I came to the intersection of Lindale Avenue and Lake Street, a car pulled in front of me, and before I or Goofus or Gallant could touch the fully functional brakes, I crashed. Over the next several hours, I was in sections of the newspaper I'd never known and headed for one section I wanted very much to avoid. I felt death brush twice and had one full-blown conversation. I remember very clearly having the choice to come back here or move on, and neither seemed like a wrong choice, but I decided to come back even though I knew there would be consequences. At this point, I know a lot of people were praying and sending me well wishes, and it's hard to deny the power of prayer when you're on the receiving end of it. I know it helped me a great deal. At times, it was like skiing behind a powerboat where all I had to do was hang on. Oh, and I was also on morphine. Oh, morphine, you wonderful evil. Morphine, it's great because there's no pain. But from running marathons, I know when somebody says you're looking good, you're probably not. But on morphine, people say you're looking good. And I'm thinking, man, I already know it. And if I could open my eyes, I would bust a move right here. Oh, but on morphine, the price you pay. When morphine takes over, it takes over everything. It falsely takes charge like Alexander Haig when Reagan was shot. It says, I am in charge now. And all reality is morphine reality. I had no idea what was real. You cannot convince me that half of my stay was not on an Italian mountaintop, or Gianni Versace didn't visit me to discuss facelifts, or that there weren't two guys in the room spying on me dressed up like televisions. So while Versace and I discussed the intricacies, my girlfriend Mary brought in photographs so the plastic surgeons could put my face back the way it was. There was some concern from my buddies because in one of the pictures I was holding the dog. Now, as terrible as this was, and as scared as I am sometimes, I still feel blessed. I'm happy to be alive and have such incredible people in my life. My buddy Steve wrote to say that I had done what his wife had been trying to get him to do for 7 years. He went to the synagogue to pray just in case they were the chosen people. My buddy Herringbone wrote from up north to say that all this time on my back was actually good practice for ice fishing. Friends started showing up, bringing me books on tape to help me through. I found Harry Potter helped me get to sleep at night, and when I couldn't go to the bathroom, Tom Brokaw's Greatest Generation got the nation moving again. Through all this time, my family has been at the front. Mary, my mom, my sister, my brother who got me off a liquid diet by saying, wouldn't a cocktail weenie taste good right now? You know, in that red sauce? At the time, my mouth was wired up, but God, I had to have a cocktail weenie. I got those wires off in a week. The doctors couldn't believe it, but man, when you gotta have a cocktail weenie, nothing else will do. Now most of my life revolves around rehab and Velcro. There was extensive nerve damage done to my right arm, so I don't have feeling or motor skills yet, and I have a congenital birth defect with my left arm, so up till now it's never done much work. I've taken to calling my left arm Scarlett, as in Scarlett O'Hara, because before this it was like, bring me a Coke with some chipped ice, but now it's got to do everything. Poor Scarlett. When I get depressed, I just look at our two wiener dogs. You'll never see more of a can-do attitude and a can't-do body than a wiener dog. And I'm excited about the future. I know it doesn't matter whether you're Goofus or Gallant. You never know when something'll happen. It's been said that God loves stories so much that he created people so there'd be an endless supply. And I'm thankful I've been given the chance to rework my ending.
Kevin Kling, an actor and playwright in Minnesota. There's more about his recovery on our website, nbr.org.